Hi everyone, this is Kim McLaughlin and we are in Emotional Eating Solutions. We are in week 3 and this is the really kind of where the, I don't know what you call it, the rubber hits the road kind of thing where we're going to be talking about the emotional side of emotional eating. And it's lots of stuff to cover, so I'm really going to get into it. But I wanted you to reflect back on how it's been going. We're starting our third week, and I want you to reflect on where are you. We went the first week. We were talking about dieting and your diet history, and wondering what diets have meant to you, and maybe what more, how it might be showing up in your life, how dieting might be showing up in your life. And I really encourage you to reflect on that and to write about that. And have you spent time figuring and determining for yourself how diets have served you and how diets have not served you? We talked last week about the food and it's about the food, but it's not about the food. And we looked at the hungry full scale and the food mood log, and have you been able to use any of that? And how has that been? And I would encourage you to reflect on that about what's come up for you, because what I find is in terms of hungry full scale is that people start realizing or acknowledging to themselves that they use food more often than they thought, or they find that they're eating when they're not hungry, they're not stopping when they're full, and they're getting some more understanding about it. And remember, this is the detective time where we're looking at this and seeing, am I hungry? Am I full? And what does it mean to me if I'm eating when I'm not hungry or if I'm not stopping when I'm full? And what does that mean to you? And this week we're going to look at what emotions might be circling around all of that. So we're going in. And the other thing I want you to consider is what self-care techniques have you been using and how have you been taking care of yourself. It's really important as we take away this idea of using food for our feelings and food to take care of ourselves, we have to have things to replace it with. And I want to encourage you again this week that we're going to come up with a third tool that you're going to come up with a third tool that you can use, another self-care technique to start using, because we're replacing using food as our comfort and using other avenues as our comfort. I always like to share my technique I've done this week, and I did a lot of writing this last week, and that's been really informative for me. I really enjoy journaling, and I don't often give myself the opportunity to journal in the way I would like to. And I just wanted to do this for myself and to be okay with myself that I can take care of myself and that I can take time to do journaling. Journaling for me takes time, and sometimes I don't consider that I can do that, that I can take care of myself. So I've been doing that this week. The other thing I've been doing this week, I've been connecting with some people that I've known that I like and I spent some time with, and I have really been enjoying that, and I've been enjoying getting to know them. So I've been moving some acquaintances that I have to being more of a friend, and that has been really enjoyable this last week. So those are the two things I've been doing, is increasing friendships and in doing more journaling. So consider for yourself, what have you been doing for your self-care? And also, have you been having any struggles? is there anything that's been hard for you? I find sometimes with the food mood log that it can be, reminds people of being on a diet. And I did talk about that last week. And did that happen for you? Did it feel like a diet, or did it feel more supportive, which is where I'm coming from, is just a way to look at what, when you're using food and maybe using food in a way that's not to your highest good. And if you're having any struggles with that, I encourage you to email me the struggles, or also go to our private Facebook page and post what's going on. It doesn't have to be deeply intimate and personal, but just something that might, that you might be able to get support, or that you could get support from other people in terms of feeling better about what you're doing. So now I want to move into our topic for today, which is emotional hunger. And remember, I talked about four types of hunger last week, and emotional hunger being one of them. And this is the hunger that this when we have feelings, when we have emotions that lead us to overeat. And you might not know yet if that happens for you, but as we move along, you'll become more and more clear about the emotions that come up for you that can lead you to overeating. And the food mood log actually has a section about feelings. And I encourage you to start noticing that if you're eating to overfull, what are those feelings? If you're not eating when you're hungry, what are those feelings? If you're feeling satisfied and satiated, what are those feelings? And if you're craving a certain food, what might those feelings be that are going on? And to just begin to be open to the feelings. What I want us to do is to begin to imagine that feelings could be a precursor to feeling hungry, to a certain type of hunger, emotional hunger, right? I'm not talking about physical hunger. Physical hunger is a whole different sensation when we're hungry because we're hungry. I'm talking about that feelings that are leading us to overeat. So if we look at it, if we look at overeating that's driven by feelings, can you see that if we focus on the feelings and releasing the feelings or dealing with the feelings, it might lead to us not overeating. So rather than dieting and restricting to not overeat, if we went to the precursor, the thing that came before, the feelings, and we focused on them, what will happen is then we're a lot less likely to overeat, and we're more successful. So the starting point is to start identifying the feelings, and that might be a struggle. You might find that that is difficult to do. People will often say, I'll ask them, what's the feeling that you're having? And they'll kind of tilt their head sideways and go, what? I don't know what feelings. I don't even know what I'm feeling a lot of the time. So what we have to start doing is beginning to notice, recognize, and name our feelings. And I like to think of some of the basic feelings, kind of where a starting spot are happy, sad, mad, anxious, nervous, bored, lonely. These are some of the basics that I find people come up with. There are a lot of more fancier names for those feelings, but those are the basic ones. And what I, as I said just a little bit ago, is that it's helpful to first begin to notice the feelings and then name them. And one way to start noticing those feelings is to start noticing how your body is feeling and then kind of asking yourself, what is this feeling? So, like, for example, you might notice tears are coming on, and that might be your recognition, one recognition of sadness. Another in your body might be feeling tense or being loud, and that might be a recognition of anger. Another might be smiling, and that might be a recognition of happy. And then still another is something like maybe your hands are shaking, your tummy's upset and nervous and pacing, and that might be anxious. So those are some basic feelings, but they're a good starting spot to begin to give you an idea of start noticing what's going on, noticing the feelings that are going on for you. And one way to do that is to start noticing how your body's feeling, how your body might be responding to an emotion or a feeling. And still another way to begin to notice whether you're having feelings is to begin to spend time in more of a quiet and centered space. And one of the things I like to do is if I'm noticing that something's off in me, or I'm noticing that I'm craving food that I normally don't crave, if I'm noticing that I'm craving food that's outside of the general time that I eat, or if I'm just thinking about food a lot, I like to just take a deep breath and center myself and just begin to wonder what's going on. So let's just do that together. Just take a deep breath. I like to do it in through my nose. You can do it in through your mouth, whichever way works. And let it out. And I like to let it out through my mouth. You can do it any way that works for you. Some breathe in and out through their mouth. Some breathe in through their mouth, out their nose, in through the nose, out the mouth. It's really getting whatever works for you. And what happens is that as we take a deep breath, we become centered. So taking that deep breath and then beginning to notice and being present in our body, we can then become more open and available to the feelings that are going on and to maybe the words that might begin to express it for ourselves. So one of the techniques I like to use a lot is to take a deep breath and to just begin to notice how am I feeling. So then I can move from there to notice how that feeling might be affecting my food. And a third way to start paying attention to feelings that lead to overeating is to notice the feelings after the fact. So you might be obsessing about food or overeating, and it isn't it, it's sometimes when it's over with that you go, gosh, what was that? What was going on for me? And why was I, you know, what was going on just now? I overate, or I was feeling really upset, and what was going on? And that can be after the fact, so kind of in a retrospective kind of way. That's where the idea of food as a messenger or food as a way of helping us understand ourselves is that if we overeat, if we eat things that really don't make us feel good and we know that, or if we're obsessing about food, to wonder gently afterwards, what was going on and how was I feeling at the time, or how was I feeling beforehand? And then you can start making that link between how you were feeling and then what the behavior was afterwards. It's a really powerful way to do it. And what can happen is that if you've already overeaten, you can then go to the spot of putting yourself down, blaming yourself, shaming yourself, saying how bad you are that you overate when you know better and you shouldn't be doing it. You're doing this emotional eating solutions, and how can I be overeating when I'm focusing on emotional eating solutions? And I really encourage you to let that part go, to let go feeling or accusing yourself of doing something wrong, and to just settle back and go, let me use this as an opportunity or a gift for me to figure out how was I feeling and what was going on for me, and then begin to name it. So you can use it as something good to begin to give yourself the, not power, it can help you feel powerful, more powerful for yourself, and more, actually more at peace that you can figure it out. So next what I want to do, now that we've talked about the feelings, is on our private webpage under week 3, I put in there the I am hungry system. And we're going to go over that because this is going to help you get a little deeper into figuring out how to manage those feelings, or how to notice those feelings and what to do about them. And it gives you in a graphic way. So on week 3, if you go into the homework section, open up the I am hungry system, and I encourage you to have it in front of you, either print it out or go over it, you know, on your computer while I am talking you through it. So let's walk through this chart. And it starts with, am I hungry? At the top, the round top circle is, am I hungry? So if you look to the left of that, if it's yes, I am hungry, remember we use our hungry full scale to determine, am I hungry? Yes. Then you go down and you say to yourself, what do I want to eat? And determine what that is. It's an internal asking. And then we move over just to the right of that and ask yourself, will it give me the fuel that I need to do the things I need to do? Because sometimes we're wanting things, and this is where emotional hunger comes into play, that actually will not give our body the fuel to do what we need to do. And we might eat it knowing that it'll make us upset or make our bodies upset. And then we would go more towards that being a more emotional time that's encouraging us to eat things that we know aren't good for us, or know that, not that aren't good for us, know that don't feel good inside of us or don't give us the energy that we need to do the things that we need to do. So if the answer is yes, it will give me the fuel I need to do the things I need to do, if the answer is yes, then we move down and ask ourselves, how will I feel physically and emotionally afterwards? And if that feeling is satisfied, then eat. Eat. It's that time. You're hungry. It's what you want to eat. It'll give you the fuel that you need to eat. You're going to feel fine afterwards, physically and emotionally. Eat. If it's continuing on that, if it's the fuel, it will give me the fuel that I need, yes, but will I feel emotional afterwards? Will I feel guilty, shame, or have an upset stomach? Is it worth it? And begin to ask yourself, is it worth it feeling bad or feeling upset? And often that can be the gentle helping spot, tipping spot, to help us not eat things that aren't for our body's highest good. So let's go through this part again. And so if we ask, what do we want to eat? Will it give me the fuel that I need? And the answer is no, it won't give me the fuel that I need. And then how will I feel physically and emotionally after? I'll feel guilty, ashamed, and upset. Once again, asking, is it worth it? Is it worth it? It's a really powerful question, because that can then help refocus you to possibly making a different decision. And as we go down the side of, am I hungry? No, you can see that if you ask yourself, is it worth it? And the answer is yes, it's worth it to not feel good. You might want to go through the other side of this diagram to ask yourself these other questions, right? Imagine actually that, is it worth it? You know, it's not worth it. Or it is worth it, I should say, you know, to go back up to the other side of this, the right side of this equation. And I'm going to walk through that right now with you. So the other side is, am I hungry? No. So on the hungry full scale, we're not hungry, clearly not hungry. And so, but we still want to eat. The next question is, what's going on? What's going on? How am I feeling? What am I thinking? And I ask myself straight up that. I ask myself, so Kim, you're not hungry. What's going on? Or Kim, you're going to eat something that's, or you want to eat something that's not going to make you feel good. You're going to feel guilty, ashamed, and upset. What's going on? What are you thinking about? What are you telling yourself? What story are you saying to yourself? Or how are you feeling? And so it's a starting spot to begin to put a name to what's really going on. And so once you get to know that, I sometimes do that in journaling. At this point, I can ask myself, if I just take a deep breath and calm myself and quiet myself, I can ask myself that question, and pretty easily the answer will come to me about what's going on. And then once we find that out, or even if you're still in questioning, like I'm not sure what's going on, ask yourself, is there a tool that I can use? Remember, we've been working every week on a wellness tool, one new wellness tool. Well, this is an opportunity to start pulling those out. And is there a tool I could use? If it's yes, use that tool. Okay, do something that makes me feel good. So the tools that we've talked about in our wellness tool packet, our wellness toolkit, would be things like writing, taking a walk, doing the dishes, talking to a friend, reading, separating myself from the situation, asking myself deeper about what feeling is going on and how is that affecting me. Those are really great tools to use to help when you're thinking about eating when you know you're not hungry. It's also another tool that if you find that you're full and you don't want to stop, ask yourself what's going on and is there a tool that I can use? Sometimes what can happen is that we know we're not hungry. We know what's going on. We know there's a tool that we can use, but we don't want to use it. No, I don't want to use it. No, there's not a tool. I don't want to do it. We're in rebellion. And that rebellion can be really tough, that rebellious feeling of, I don't want to do this. You can't make me, right? And that does come up. That does come up. So notice if you're not wanting to do this or you're not able to think of a tool, and am I in rebellion? Am I rebelling against what's going on? And am I in rebellion against not using food to soothe myself for the moment? Because I think we can agree that using food will just help us for the moment, but it won't help for the long haul. And what actually happens is that if we eat food when we know it won't help, when we know that there's something else going on, say we're feeling anxious or lonely or upset or fearful, if we know we're feeling that way and we're saying, I'm going to eat anyway, and we choose not to use a tool instead, what will happen, what we need to then ask is, how will I feel if I do this? And what I find consistently is that some of the feelings will probably be guilty and shame. Will I feel guilty and will I feel shamed? Will I feel upset with myself? Will I feel angry with myself? And really become in touch with that, because it's this noticing the future consequence of overeating, of overeating for an emotional reading, or I'm sorry, overeating for an emotional reason, that if you start noticing that you're going to feel guilty and shame, it can help redirect you. Excuse me. And then the next question is it worth it? If I'm going to eat and feel ashamed and upset with myself and guilty, is it worth it? What I find generally by that point, we're able to move away from it and say, yeah, no, it's not worth it. And if we do say that it's worth it, we're probably going to eat anyway. And then I recommend that you do what we talked about a little while ago, and that is reflect later on and what this meant for you and what was going on and what were you feeling and what was really at the bottom of all of this, because you had a hard time pulling yourself out of it. This is a powerful tool. And what can happen is the reason why I diagrammed it out is because every time I talk to somebody, I write this diagram out every time. And I decided that it would just be best if I just made it in an infograph for you to look and see. Because if you follow this plan, the likelihood that you would overeat, the likelihood that you would get to this bottom circle and say, is it worth it? And you say, yes, it's worth it to overeat, would be a lot less. Because what we're looking at doing is, if you think about it, we want to make a larger time period between the thought of overeating, the feeling that's going on that's leading us to overeat, and actually overeating. We want to put some time in between, a padding in between. Because when we do that, we can it's easier to get to this bottom circle and say, is it worth it? And I was saying, yeah, no, it's not worth it. Okay, I'm not doing this. I'm going in a different direction. Because I have time to really come back into myself. And if I'm really using a tool that works for me, or I might use one and then still want to eat, and I might use another. I usually find after I use one or tool, I'm generally good to go, and I don't want to do it. I can generally come back to myself and go, okay, no, this isn't what I want to do. I don't want to overeat. But you have to follow the process. And if you don't follow the process, then just later on, kindly ask yourself, what's going on? What was happening that I was feeling upset and I overate? And also ask yourself at the end, like, did it really work? Did it help me stop feeling upset? And the answer is 100% no. Every time I've ever asked somebody to eat over a feeling, the feeling doesn't go away. It never does. And what I find is when I ask people, you know, if the feeling went away, no, it didn't go away. And actually now it's worse because they're feeling upset about themselves. They're feeling guilty and they're feeling ashamed. So we've actually piled on more feelings on top that we didn't have in the start. That's what happens when we use food to try and solve an emotional problem. Food was not meant to solve emotional problems. And so I want you to really consider that for yourself. Can you see that food does not solve emotional problems? One way to think about this that I really like is to begin to nurture yourself around this and to give yourself a break. You're not going to be 100% around noticing the feelings, around taking care of yourself and taking care of the feelings rather than overeat. It's a process. And what I like to think about is what would you tell a child, either your child or a niece or a nephew, if they came and told you that they overate because they were feeling bad? You wouldn't berate them. You wouldn't get angry at them. You wouldn't yell at them. You wouldn't tell them they're terrible and that they're never gonna move on from this. You'd say, oh, honey, what's going on? What's going on that you were feeling upset or you were feeling lonely or you were feeling bored and you overate? What's happening? And you'd be this kind, gentle adult. With that child side, that was kind of acting out. This is the same thing. So be kind to yourself. Be loving to yourself around this process. Be that continue to be that detective. That's wondering what's going on. Oh, honey, what's going on that you want to overeat when you're feeling emotions? What's going on that you want to use food to manage your feelings? Tell me about it. and begin to listen to yourself and what this really means for you. This is one of those things that journaling, once again, is really great with, or meditation, to really get in touch with yourself about what's really going on. So I want you to think about right now, like, if there are things that you could add for yourself that could be that tool, that gentle, kind, loving way that you could start taking care of yourself when you want to overeat, when you're not hungry, or when you want to eat foods that don't fuel you, when you want to eat foods that you know are going to make you feel, leave you feeling upset and ashamed. To begin to gently ask yourself, what do I need? What do I need to add to my toolbox? And one of the things I would encourage that you start adding is loving kindness and being kind to yourself, because what happens is that as we use food for, as we use food to take care of ourselves, we generally are not very nice to ourselves. We're often very mean and condescending and shame-filled, cause ourselves a lot of shame, make us bad and wrong for overeating. And what I want you to know is that overeating has served a purpose for you. It's gotten you through a lot. And what we're doing now is we're replacing its value for taking care of yourself, and we're putting it in its, putting food in its proper place as nourishment, and developing tools and resources for you to take care of yourself emotionally. So consider what could be other tools that you could use that would help take care of yourself. Think back on what's worked in the past. What have you used before that's kind and gentle and loving, that helps you when you're feeling like you want to overeat and you know that you're not really hungry, or you know that the food that you're wanting to eat is really not the best for your body, that won't make your body feel good. I work with a lot of people that eat food knowing that it'll make them feel bad. People who are diabetic that know that eating sugar will really put their body out of balance, or people who have a gluten sensitivity that will eat gluten knowing that it will really upset and bloat their stomach, or people that are lactose intolerant or sensitive to milk products and know that it will make them break out or once again upset or bloat their stomach. So what I want you to consider is asking yourself, what's going on that I want to eat these foods? What's going on that I want to eat them? And is there something else I could do instead? And begin to write that down for yourself. And that can be part of your wellness plan for dealing with your emotions. Adding on to this, I want you to consider that nurturing yourself is one of the key ways to help you move out of using food to nurture yourself. Okay? Finding a way to other ways to nurture yourself is a key. So once again, for the homework this week, I want you to look at what could I do if I wanted to overeat? What could I put in that spot on the hungry full system? What could I put there to help me take care of myself when I might want to eat and I'm not hungry? Or I might want to eat and I know it's a food that's going to make me feel really bad. Start thinking about for this next week, what could I do? What tool could I use? And start writing that down and practicing it this week. I would encourage you to do more than one tool this week, right? We've made an agreement to do at least one a week, so we come out with 8 at the end of the 8-week course. But maybe do more than one this week. Also thinking about how food has served you. And we're going to do a little exercise. I'm actually going to add it on this week, is an exercise about journaling and writing to our body about how we felt about overeating. How we felt about overeating and how food has served us, but how food has served us emotionally. Right? How has food served you emotionally? How has it helped you, your emotions? And giving thanks to food for being present and available and helpful. And then releasing it. Because it served a purpose. It served a purpose to help with emotions. And now we want to release it because we don't need it to help with our emotions anymore because we're going to use other techniques. What you might find out comes up this week is a lot of emotions because we're talking about it, because we're putting some emphasis on it. And I want you to know that's all okay and good and normal and natural, and it's a part of the process that you're going to be focusing on feelings and looking at them, noticing them, and seeing if there's something else you can do that you can put in its place. So I encourage you to do that week. As you continue to look at the emotions and use the Am I Hungry system, you continue to use the Hungry Full scale. If you haven't done it for a day or two, do it and get in touch with your body and use the food mood log to get in touch with the feelings that are coming up. What I find consistently is that there's a flow for your food. There's a flow for how you eat, and there's often some general kind of feelings that can lead to overeating. If you can't catch it before and notice the feelings before you overeat, when you've noticed you've overeaten, I would encourage you to go back and fill out that food mood log and just say that I realize now that I was overeating. I was really at this level of hunger and this level of fullness, and this was the feeling, and notice the feeling that you had and notice the thoughts that were going on so that you can in retrospect, like we talked about earlier, get a handle on it or notice it and call it for what it is. So, Hungry Full Scale, food mood log, at least one new self-care technique this week, and using the Am I Hungry system to determine your physical hunger and your emotional hunger. If you get confused, re-listen to this audio during the week, and also come back to the Facebook page. I've been posting in there, and you're welcome to join in and come in and at least notice the postings that I put in and talk about how you're feeling or what you're noticing or what's working or what concerns you have. Also send me a private email to let me know what's going on or let me know confusion, or let me know what's working, because I would really love to know. We're going to meet next week, talk about the thoughts that are going on to kind of continue this exploration. And this week it's a focus on feelings. I encourage you to do this. I encourage you because I've seen how valuable it is for people. I have seen how much they get out of it, and I want you to know I'm on your side. I get it, and I want you to go easy on yourself. Go easy on yourself with a gentle little nudge. Consider me as nudging you along to do this. It's so beneficial. It's so helpful. I know you can do it. And I know that this is part of the process to move you forward to putting food in its proper place as nourishment and dealing with emotions in a way that are more in line with what works for you. Okay? I want to thank you for being on this call today. I want to thank you for your bravery of stepping up and looking at food differently. It takes a brave person to do this. It takes a brave person to know that their eating isn't the way they want it to be and they want to look at it differently. I will talk to you next week, and I will send you emails during the week, as I always do, to check in with all of you. And I wish you a great rest of the week. And here's to looking at your emotions and their connections to food. Bye-bye, everyone.